Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So much incredible college football. Well, one incredible game, really, and some wonky results. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We've been talking all morning about the barn burner between Arizona State and Texas. Texas moves on in double overtime. But Arizona State gave them all they could handle. It took a miracle, really. Fourth and 13 play from Quinn Ewers and double in overtime to keep the game tied. And then they win it in double OT. And that was really the best in terms of drama, Perloff, game of the college football playoffs so far. The biggest surprise result to me, though, was definitely Oregon getting boat raced by Ohio State.
Yeah.
Credit to Ohio State. They look like the toughest team left in the tournament. I know we have not seen Georgia yet because of the tragic events yesterday, or New Year's Eve night, rather, in New Orleans. We'll see them this afternoon in the Sugar Bowl. But this looks like Ohio State's tournament to lose, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about the Buckeyes. But for Oregon, you've got to be sick.
Yes and no. I mean, it's a tough assignment to beat Ohio State, who's definitely a more talented team. You even saw that in the first game. To beat them twice in the season, that's why it's a surprise how it went down, but it's not a shock that they lost, obviously.
I don't know. I'm going to have to disagree. Well, most talented. Listen, Oregon, maybe if you're on paper, maybe Ohio State had the most talent on the roster of anyone in the country.
Like, but NFL talent. They have an overwhelming advantage there.
No doubt, but Oregon was the number one team in the country, and Oregon's going to have plenty of pros. And it's not like the quarterback, which is still the most important position. It's not like Will Howard versus Dylan Gabriel is such a tilted. You know, it's not like Will Howard's going number one overall in the draft and Dylan Gabriel's going to be a fifth-round pick. Those guys are, you know, not – they're very comparable, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, but I feel like, I mean, if you're just going to NFL talent, like, this Ohio State team blows everybody out of the water.
But they hadn't been playing up to their potential.
They've just been getting the edges. Obviously, the coaching staff's better at Oregon. So that's the only reason, like, that's the only reason Oregon beat them the first time, I think. And that game was a coin flip in Eugene.
Right.
So that's why it's not a shock. I think, and Ohio State was favored coming into the game, right, by about a field goal. So the win is not shocking. Like, it's really hard to beat Ohio State twice. The fact that Oregon lay down, this is a total excuse, but I'm going to say it's a layoff, Maggie. I mean, there's no real reason. They totally came out flat. Then you saw at the end of the first half, they got a little momentum going, beginning of the second half. I just have to say, like, oh, man, they were flat. There's no way other way to describe it. Ohio State caught them.
Then that's got to be on the coaching staff, right? Don't
yes.
we generally put that on the coaches when a team comes out? I mean, listen, you got a team that you beat by 1 point at your place. You know this is going to be a massive game. They're going to have revenge on their minds. You're at the Rose Bowl, for goodness sakes. It's not like you're playing in some crappy, dingy venue where you can't get up for it. I mean, everything's on the line. It's single elimination. You had all this rest and time to get ready. You know, Dan Lanning is a dynamo. He's definitely one of the faces of the sport. He's an easy guy to root for, but he's got to wear this without a doubt, because this was a scary team all year. They were a resilient team, and you let your opponent get out to a 34-0 lead. And he said, we waited too long to make adjustments again on the coaching staff, because Jeremiah Smith, who is the freshman receiver for Ohio State, who, if he was eligible to go to the draft this year, would be the number one receiver off the board.
Be the number one pick.
Sure.
Maybe.
It's possible. He's got the talent.
It's like an 18-year-old Julio Jones running around a college stadium. It's bizarre. But
they could not do anything against him.
Yeah, nobody could. But again, you're right. Of course you're going to call out the coaching staff in a blowout loss like that. But is it more the structure of the college football playoff? Like, are we going to look back? Is the real takeaway is that Dan Lanning came up short? Or, these teams with a bye have way too long a break, and it's problematic.
Well, we'll see, because we still have a game to play. But that looks like the theme, right? The teams that played the week before were just raring and ready to go, and the teams that didn't got off to slower starts.
Well, we're all like that. Like, you got to get in a rhythm. You got to practice. Like, I play basketball. If I don't play for 3 weeks, I get back and I stink.
Yeah, but you know what? Like, this is not unique to college football. It's not like for 100 years we've been doing it one way. You always get these long layoffs before bowl games, and so you'd think that the coaches have an idea
Both teams have the layoffs. That's the difference. When you have a national title game, both teams are sitting there for a month, and they almost always come out and play terribly in the first quarter.
That's true. Usually it's nerves also. Everyone's a little tight.
Very, very much so. But that could have happened last night, too. But I felt like that was... Wasn't there a point in the game where you said, oh, okay, here's Oregon. Like, they came... Finally, they were back. And even the second half, they just... Ohio State, I thought it was going to get kind of close. We were actually doing our production call at halftime, and I look up, and I'm like, oh, it's 34-15, and Oregon's got the ball again. It looked like, okay, but Ohio State had some resilience, too, to not let what happened to Texas happen to them.
Now, I don't want to be this person, but I'm going to tell you the thought crossed my mind as I was watching that game, and I'm curious because we have a big audience in Oregon, a lot of Duck fans listening to us, and at 855-212-4227, you can call. Does it wipe away everything from the season? I hate to be that person. I don't want to be that person because these are athletes. They're young men. They had the number one. They were ranked number one throughout the year. No one questioned it. No one called out the schedule. They did everything they had to do. But the fact you lose like that in the quarterfinal, does it just mean the whole season just sort of has now this, I don't know, sort of dampness about it? Shadow. Who's going to look back and be like, man, remember 2024? Remember the magic when we beat Ohio State? It's like, yeah, well, then what happened? Well, then they beat our ass in the quarterfinal. Again, I hate to do that. It's a whole long season. Every game matters. It's fun. But if I'm an Oregon fan, am I like, ah, now I can't even really probably look fondly back on this game. And the season, rather. Not this game. The season, I think, just takes on a whole other tenure and tinge.
Actually, I don't even think that's where, if I was a fan, I would think this is okay. It didn't work this year. Like, we have Dan Lanning, we have all the money on earth. Like, how we better, how are we going to win this thing? Like, what's next? Let's go. Like, they're in a position in the next 5 years, as long as Lanning stays. Maybe they don't get it in the next 2 years, but like, they're thinking, like, okay, we lost this game. Like, what's next? I would be
just like, reload.
Reload, like, we, of course. Now there's only one expectation for this program, and it's national title. So, no, there's no looking back fondly to answer your question. It's like, okay, this time it did not happen, but we got into the Big Ten and kicked everyone's butt. We are going to be a national title team, hopefully within 5 years, and, like, everything's got to be focused on that.
Yeah, but you know what? Oregon Ducks been to the national title.
Yeah, but this is very different.
I know, but I guess here's the thing.
Yeah.
And maybe I know this because I root for a fan base that also has this type of history, which is, when are we finally going to break through and win this thing? When is it going to happen? If not this year, number one seed. Could have gotten a better draw. I mean, I hated the way it laid out for Oregon. But listen, you're going to have to beat good teams to win the whole thing. At least that's what I was told. Stop complaining that the number one seed had to run into a very good Ohio State team in the first round or second round. But when are you going to win? That's probably closer. And again, as a Bills fan, I get that because my team has the same thing. You got you feel like the pieces are in place, yet for some reason, you come up short.
Yeah, but I mean, Dan Lanning got there 2 years ago or 3 years ago. Like, it's happening with him. I have no doubt that guy's going to be at least in the national title game. Like, I don't have the slightest hesitation to say that.
Yeah, but national title game, again, been to the national title game.
Yeah.
They need to win the national title game.
Well, they haven't been with Lanning.
That's true.
Right. It felt like they were there last year, but they weren't.
No, but I'm saying when the LaMichael James.
Yeah, with Chip Kelly. Yeah. I understand. But I definitely, and I don't know why it feels a little different than Chip Kelly. I feel like Dan Lanning's, especially if he stays there, is going to take them to national title. I don't know why. I have no doubt. So much money. They have such a great facility.
But like, they've had all that.
Yeah, but not with this coaching staff. And, like, they're still building. I think they're still building. And their roster, by the way, is not... I think they probably need a little more money. Like, Ohio State was $20 million, their famous $20 million payroll. I don't quite see the superstars all over that Oregon roster up and down. In 3 years, I think they can pay up and be really in this mix. Also, we're not going to have Alabama winning it every year. So I think if you look at the teams, like who's next 5 years would I want? Oregon is maybe top two or three on that list. Like who's got a brighter future than them? So I'm not so focused on them blowing this year. I'm focused on like, okay, didn't happen this year, but man, it could happen. Because I'm not, and again, I'm not reading that much into the blowout loss last night. Maybe I'm being naive. I'm like, they came out flat. Dan Lanning said best. He's like, yeah, we just didn't have it tonight. And he didn't even seem that, not that he didn't seem upset. And that sounds like a criticism of his, like, it was very clear. Like they got out there like, crap. Sometimes it just happens, Meg.
If I'm an Oregon fan, I'm not accepting that.
Well, you will accept in 2 or 3 years when they hoist that silver thing or that crystal ball or whatever it is, that trophy.
Yeah. Not a crystal ball anymore.
I know.
What is it? I have no idea.
The college football playoff trophy.
It's the logo of the playoff is the trophy.
Yeah.
It's that, like, those two gold long things. I don't know. I don't like the trophy. Go back to the crystal ball.
It's not a crystal ball anymore.
That was the best trophy.
How long has that been gone? I feel bad.
For a while.
Yeah, since the college football playoff started, they haven't done the crystal ball.
It's been over a decade since the crystal football.
They don't do the crystal ball anymore? Oh, my God.
A decade, right?
Yeah.
2014 is when it started.
But I do think, like, yeah, I don't think Oregon looks back on this season and says, oh, man, this was our one opportunity. We blew it. I feel like this is, like, part of a process.
855-212-4227. I don't know if Ducks fans are going to accept that. Adrian is our pal in Maryland, has a thought on why Oregon looks so flat. Adrian, what's up?
Hey, guys. Happy New Year. First and foremost, prayers go out to New Orleans and New York. Tragedy. My thing is, I think Ohio State was more battle-tested. They had more closer and tougher games. They played Penn State down basically to the wire. They played Nebraska down to the wire. Michigan, rivalry game. And Oregon just looked like that Pac-10 team they've always looked like. Mm. Some gimmicky plays. Smaller, quick guys, and Ohio State just looked physical. They out physicalityed them to the point where Oregon just basically didn't know what they were doing.
You know, that's interesting, Adrian. Because Ohio State played a lot more close games, were they a bit more battle tested? Because they're both Big Ten, right? So they're both playing like a Big Ten schedule. Adrian, Happy New Year. Thanks so much for the call. You make us think all the time, bring up these good points.
Did Oregon had a Wisconsin close game, went down the wire, and Penn State kind of.
The Penn State Big Ten kinda. Title game was definitely, yeah. I mean, the final score was 45-37, but that was a closer game than I think people thought it was going to be. Oregon had early season close wins where people were questioning. Remember, it was the 24-14 win over Idaho. Boise, they escaped by winning a field goal.
They didn't look great early in the year.
Winning by a field goal, pardon me.
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin was, they that was, that was scary times. That was, yeah. But I think Ohio State should be tougher. I mean, this is a very unique Ohio State team because they have these big defensive players. Like, they have, Jack Shorey has been there since, you know, I was in college, but he's, like, they have this great defense, which Ohio State never had. Like, of course they should be tougher. Like, honestly, like, the way this season should have played out is Ohio State should have been number one wire to wire. They're incredibly, incredibly talented. That's the, and I think, like, Oregon, that's why I don't think this is, like, that crushing of a loss for Oregon, because if you're a Duck fan and you honestly think we were the better team than Ohio State, I just don't know if that's true. I think you're a better coach. I don't think you're the better team.
But why wouldn't you think that?
Because you saw the game in Eugene. Like, it was a home game. It was really closely contested. Came down to one bad call. It was too close to beat that team twice. It just feels like a tall task.
Okay, and it's one thing to lose, but the way they lost, I think, absolutely plays into this. You lose a one-point game and you're Ohio State. That's crushing. You got boat raced in this game. It's 34-0. You're not coming back from that. Kevin is in Oregon. Kevin, how are the Ducks fans feeling this morning?
Happy New Year. The Ducks fans, well, you mentioned that it's tough to beat the same team twice in the same year, but Washington did it to Oregon last year, ended up in the final. This year, Ohio State beat them. I think both seasons are a total wash. Now, I don't know how the coaches and the players feel, but as a fan, I feel like the seasons were meaningless. I mean, until Oregon can get over the hump and either get to a national title game or win a national title game, they haven't proved anything.
Kevin, I think that's correct, and also that's the bar, right? And thank you for the call, and Happy New Year to you as well. The bar is national championship win, or it's a bad season.
Yeah. The question is, like, was this supposed to be the year for Oregon? It's easy to say now that they got beat by Ohio State. I'm just because they were number one and they went undefeated, like, I didn't say, oh, they are such an overwhelming favorite in this thing. I thought they had a great chance. Obviously, the game was on the West Coast, but it doesn't feel like they blew it, the title, like this was their year and they blew it to me. Maybe I'm just saying that because they lost, but I didn't come in and say, man, this is all in for Oregon. If they can't get it done this year, they're never going to get it done. I think it's the opposite. I think Dan Lanning is just going to build and build and build. He just got there. And also, he's young. Like, he feels like, to me, he just feels like a national title winning coach. And not everybody wins in their first 3 years.
855-212-4227. Perhaps we can have a second poll, EJ. I feel like Oregon blew it or something like that. What did you just say, Perloff, that it wasn't theirs to lose? Now this feels like Ohio State's tournament to lose. But yeah, coming into the college football playoff, I think it was, listen, it was a tough draw for Oregon. So that's what made it a little hard to say, oh gosh, this is a perfect path for them. It's like, no, they're in the same half of the bracket as Ohio State, same half of the bracket as Texas. It's going to be tough, but I don't know.
I remember coming into the season, I said, man, if Ohio State can't win with this roster, then I don't know if they're ever going to win. Like, I don't know if Ryan Day is going to win. Didn't feel that way. We never said that coming into the season about Oregon. I think they were ranked pretty high, but
they were ranked high. Dylan Gabriel was the preseason Heisman favorite. There was a lot going on with Oregon that would point you in the direction that this was going to be the year.
But Ohio State was a dream team coming in. I think we thought Will Howard was going to be better than he was. It's just like, you looked on paper, like, how can this team even, like, be? This is incredible. And, yeah, they just, now we're seeing that team, finally.
855-212-4227. You want to weigh in on Oregon, the disappointment, Ohio State, and how good they look, plus an epic game between Texas and Arizona State. And, of course, we've got NFL. A record could have been broken, and we're all denied watching history.
That's football.
We're going to get to that next. MMP.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. I am not thrilled with the state of the college football playoff. I wonder, and I'm being serious here, the structure of it is messed up. They got to fix this next year. They got to reseed. They can't have this massive buys. Like, I think the structure of it led to unentertaining football up and down. And also, there's just been, like, every game, I'm like, yes, I cannot wait to see this game. And then, like, 15 minutes in, I'm like, oh, what am I watching?
I know. Even on the broadcast, like, can't wait. Oregon, Ohio State, that's going to be a barn burner. It's like, or it's going to be 34-0, and we're all going to,
I know, that was the one.
Fest.
Yeah, just like last round with the Tennessee game, too. I was so fired up for that game. And for some reason, the Penn State games have been just kind of unwatchable in a bizarre way. Georgia, Notre Dame, I have a feeling this is going to be some ugly football. I think they're going to be distracted because of what's happening outside. I think the teams tend to play that way anyway, right? Like, they're going to want a physical defensive game, so it could be. I do not expect a very clean game today.
Doesn't mean it can't be an entertaining game.
It could be a thrilling game. I feel like this could be a bit of a smash mouth game, could be good.
Lowest point spread of any of the games so far. It's down to a point, I think. Just that.
Yeah.
But of course, a lot more going on in the world today. Andrew Bogish is with us, and we'll get to, I know, Perloff, you've been dying to talk about Saquon Barkley. We will get to that very soon. Bogues has headlines, though. What's up, dude?
Maggie, as you so eloquently said earlier this morning, an all-time boot and rally yesterday from Arizona State running back
I'm
Cam
quite the wordsmith.
Scadaboo.
I threw up.
Puking on the sidelines, then almost single-handedly pulling the Sun Devils back into the Peach Bowl with Texas.
11 under center, Scadaboo behind him. Turns a toss to Scadaboo. He's looking to throw downfield. Downfield, and that pass is caught inside the 10. Touchdown, Arizona State. Malik McClain on 4th and 2. Scadaboo throws a 42-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, the running back throwing a touchdown unamused Perloff. He then ran for one to force overtime, then ran for another to put the Sun Devils ahead in extra time, but a passing TD and then two passing TDs, and an interception. Quinn Ewers throwing them, got the Longhorns to win 39-31. was the final once again. And now Texas has to deal with Ohio State in the semifinal in Dallas next Friday. The Buckeyes, they're rolling, beating Oregon worse than they beat Tennessee in round one. The 41-21 final yesterday at the Rose Bowl began 34-0 Buckeyes in the second quarter. Will Howard completed just 17 passes, but for 319 yards and three scores.
When I got guys around me that are doing what they're doing, I don't have to do much, man. I just got to put it up and give him a chance. And O-line played a hell of a game, gave me some time, and the rest is history.
Jeremiah Smith in particular was good yesterday. 7 catches, 187, and 2 of those touchdowns.
Okay. I've been kind of a jerk all show about sports events. I'm going to say something that's probably the meanest thing I'm going to say. I love Will Howard, because he's from the Philadelphia area. But they told a story last night where he blew the end of the Oregon game by not getting down fast enough, and the clock ran out. He called his mom and had his mom come stay with him at college for 3 days. They told this story. That's so lame, dude. Oh. Come on. Come on. You mess up a final drive against Oregon, and you have to have your mommy come stay with you for 3 days? What the heck? If I'm an NFL team, I am immediately putting him on a not draft list.
What?
He was so upset he had his mom come stay with him for 3 days. He's a football player. He's an adult football player. You mess up a football game. You
a well played adult football player, apparently.
Yeah. And also too,
he's a college football player.
It's in the middle of whatever. It's in the middle of a season. He's an older college football player. I just thought that story was supposed to be so cool about Will Howard. And even as I can't remember who was saying, it must have been Herbie, I was like, that's kind of lame. You had to call your mom to come, get you out of your football funk.
Through this kid.
Well, do you think that he was, sucking his thumb with his head in her lap, kind of sobbing himself to sleep every night?
It sounded like, I don't know, if you're, an NFL team and you hear that story, is that really, is that the grit you want that... Basically, you screwed up time management, so you had to call your mommy? I don't know. I thought that was a lame story.
I mean, here's a question. Did she come stay with him again after the Michigan loss?
Well, that's the other thing, too. Where was she after the Michigan? I don't know.
Like,
no,
if he gets
drafted
by the Titans when they lose to the Jags inevitably, is mom going to have to be there? I don't know. Did you think it was lame that Allen Iverson's mom used to sit at every, game and be front row?
No. But it's a different phenomenon to have your mom change her flight plans and come to Columbus, Ohio and stay with you when you're in college. I was in college. The last thing I wanted was my parents anywhere near what was going on.
Yeah, but no offense. There wasn't a tidal wave of people ready to run you out of town at any point when you're from New Hampshire.
What about when I got a B- on my sociology test? You don't think I wanted to call my mom and have her come cook for me? Am I alone here? That's kind of lame.
It's not a story I would repeat if I was Will Howard. Let me just say that. I'm surprised he told people this.
Perloff might be an imperfect messenger, though. I mean, you sprain your pinky finger, and you don't just tell your mom. You tell the whole world.
I put the
hundreds of thousands of social media followers. It's like, my pinky.
I put my x-rays. Everybody enjoys those stories. I put my x-rays out on social media. It was kind of cool. I'll show it to you right now. You want to get grossed out? I'll put it up. I don't know if Cap's doing this, but that pinky, that's an awesome story. I didn't have my mom come to New York and cook meals for 3 days because I sprained my pinky.
I know, but you're also not Lynn Swan. You didn't lose the finger.
You mean...
Ronnie Lott.
Yeah, I'm definitely
Ronnie
not Lynn
Lott.
Swan.
You're not either.
Yeah, I'm not either.
You're not
Will Howard,
Ronnie Swan. You're none of those things.
Anthony Lynn.
I just think that
he's tough.
I just question Will Howard's toughness after that story. And the other thing too is he had plenty of time to throw against Oregon, so I don't know how tough this kid is. If the pressure gets to him in the next game, is he going to hold up, or is he going to need his mommy? Is he going to call her at halftime, be like, "Oh, mom, Texas is there." Putting pressure up the middle. What do I do? I can't find Jeremiah Smith.
Wait, did you criticize Caleb Williams when he cried in his mom's arms after USC?
You know,
lost
I did
Notre
not
Dame?
Because everybody else was criticizing him. I'm like, okay, whatever. But now that I look back on it, that explains a lot.
Happy New Year to you, Perloff with a flamethrower.
I mean, everybody else criticized him for that, but. Yeah, I agree with EJ. Why is Will Howard letting that story out? He's like a 21-year-old
adult. Not a soul would know that. Not a soul. If that was me, nobody would know my mom's at the crib.
Yeah,
because I lost the game.
Yeah. I mean, you, EJ, you got hurt. Did your mom come and help around the house?
I didn't see my parents for 2 months. Let's not get into that.
That's on your mom, dude.
Listen, to be fair, Mrs. Stewart's got 4 kids, you know.
Maggie, you're a mom. If your son was at college football,
I would have ran out on the field.
Yeah. So you'll fly to, you know, when your son is quarterback at Wake Forest, you're going to fly down to Carolina and help out?
Why can't he be the quarterback at Ohio State?
That's the other thing, too. Like, what are the logistics of this? Like, does he live off campus? Like, is his mom, like, sleeping on the couch? I don't understand any of this.
Does he have a roommate?
Yeah, like, I mean, first of all, if I'm the Ohio State quarterback, I'm too busy just partying and hooking up with women to have my mom come down, even after the loss. That's terrible. That's what I would have done.
That's why you didn't go on to play Ohio State and beat Oregon in the Rose Bowl. Yeah, because your priorities were clearly on other things.
Yeah. Oh, I think of myself as a young man. If I was a star quarterback, I would have been too busy to actually read the playbook. I would have been celebrating.
Even Johnny Manziel.
Perloff's like, sorry, we lost. Who's coming home with me?
I really would have been Johnny Manziel. And I think a lot of us would have been. Anyway. God, if I had a body part anyone wanted to see. Yeah. Trust me. Andrew Perloff, the JV basketball player, English major.
Guy's got a set on him.
Yeah. Yeah. He would have been doing some damage in college if he was a star quarterback, but nope, wasn't meant to be.
If you won the full Dartmouth varsity, you'd have been big time?
Not really.
No.
I don't think so.
You want my Will Howard hot take from yesterday, just from some company?
Please, yeah.
After one of the touchdowns, I don't know which one it was, but the camera followed him running back to the sideline, and his run was so goofy that I was like, that's Will Howard?
Yeah.
He survives running like that? It was a weird, like, giddy-up kind of thing going on. I mean, he was, like, too excited. I didn't like that.
Also,
the mom thing doesn't help either.
Yeah, and then they showed his mom and his sister holding hands. That was actually really cool. But also, Will Howard, like, throws this nice touchdown pass to Jeremiah Smith, and you see Jeremiah Smith looks all jacked, and then Will Howard takes his helmet off. It's like, that dork just threw that pass?
Oh, my gosh.
he's just like, looks like a normal guy, right? Like, and then but he plays like a cool guy, but then he takes his helmet off, and he's like, here I am, I'm Will Howard.
I don't even know if it's irony, but the audacity for Andrew Perloff to call anyone else a dork is beyond.
But I'm not a Division I star them. Quarterback. I'm in. Yeah. Yes.
You guys wouldn't pass your own tests here. Like, if someone was holding you up to the microscope in this
Maggie,
way,
Maggie, I'm
you
showing
would
you
not
a picture.
Pass.
You're telling me that guy looks like a star quarterback?
I get it.
He looks like, you know, the guy next door.
Listen, we've all had lame haircuts in our life. It's not a crime.
We know there's something called face drafting where the NFL wants handsome quarterbacks. I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
Our buddy John Wertheim did a whole book on it.
It was, the whole thing about how you have to have facial bone structure apparently to play that.
Will Howard does not have it. He just looks like an average guy.
That is not true. He could have a Joe Burrow like glow up. And he is perfectly handsome guy. Dorcas Malorkin.
Totally disagree. Totally disagree. I think he falls.
You throw him in a backless tuxedo and look out.
I'm questioning your scouting report there, Maggie Gray. Totally questioning your scouting report. And I don't think he goes in the first round because of this.
No. He's not going to the first round because he's been wildly inconsistent this season.
That's because of his facial structure.
To make this a full Will Howard segment, the third Will Howard take is, I could not believe that none of the Ohio State players would get off the stage so that Will Howard could get on the stage to actually be at the trophy ceremony.
That was crazy. How come he couldn't get on there?
So I was watching the video this morning. So he said that there was a weight requirement on the stage. So apparently they had missed. They were at the limitation. Meanwhile, it's a 320 defensive lineman looking at him like, "Hey, bud, I'm sorry, they're not letting you up." I'm like, "Dude, get off the stage. He's the quarterback. What are you talking about?"
Well, to be fair, that O-line really did some work. They really were the MVPs probably of that game yesterday. Mm. But isn't Howard a captain?
Yeah, he's a captain. He's a quarterback. Yeah, I mean. And also, like...
Yeah, let the quarterback.
Yeah, if the stage collapses and something bad happens, I think they'll be fine. It was not like we're talking about they were on some, like, 30-foot platform. It's like a 5-foot platform. And you see this guy in a suit, you know, who looks like the guy from the Last Dance video that, you know, that was playing cards with Jordan. He's like, sorry, bud, can't let you on here. And he's like, but I'm the quarterback. Don't care.
Yeah.
Like, come on, guy. Let him on the stage.
Anybody could throw to those receivers, he said next. It is a historic group of receivers Will Howard is throwing to. They are crazy. By the way, the MVP, Jeremiah Smith, like, hey, I got a game plan for you in the next game. Throw to Jeremiah Smith on every single play. He beats double teams. He's like Calvin Johnson. He's okay. Insane. So, again, back to Will Howard.
Ugly.
Can I move this
fourth round pick. Third and fourth round pick. He'll be a good, yeah. Solid, long-time backup.
How this started was they shared a story that Perloff thought was not great. Didn't put Will Howard in a great light, that his mom had to come stay with him after they lost to Oregon the first time, the only time, earlier this year. Can we move the spotlight just a little away from that? I know, Bogus, you have more to do, but was anyone else thinking this about Jeremiah Smith? And I know we still have a long way to go with Marvin Harrison Jr., but we called Marvin Harrison Jr. as like going to be no doubt fourth overall pick. He's going to be offensive rookie of the year, although you had Jaden Daniels, Perloff, so good for you. Mm-hmm. But it was like, oh, it's going to automatically click at the next level. Like he's going to come in and dominate. It's like it didn't happen this year, literally, for a guy who we're saying the exact same stuff about.
No, I think Smith's better. He's bigger than Harrison. I think he weighs more than Harrison. Like
he looks
Will.
Gigantic.
Yeah, I mean that's the one thing about Jeremiah Smith. He's so big. I think I said Marvin Harrison's the best prospect I've seen in forever. But also Marvin Harrison went to the wrong team. That's pretty obvious. Like Arizona's offense is a mess. So, and I think he's pretty good. I'm not worried about him. He'll be fine. I don't know if Arizona's ever going to switch quarterbacks. But I don't think he's a bust. Like,
he's not a bust. I'm saying we have a long way to go with Marvin Harrison, but we just talked about, hey, if anyone can hit the ground running and be a game changer for an offense, and
I think that
did not happen for Arizona.
I think Jeremiah Smith would go number one over both quarterbacks in this year's draft. I think he's that good. I could be totally off on that, but I don't know. I haven't seen anybody. And I think Ibuka goes 12, and I think Carnell Tate goes 10. Like, these guys are, and they just had Garrett Wilson and Marvin Harrison and JSN. Like, what is going on with that Ohio State team? You have to admit, like, it was impressive last night. The way the receivers got separation, and once they caught the ball, they couldn't get tackled. I'm into it.
Bogus, what else you got, dude?
Can you believe, by the way, that he was playing against high school kids last year?
No.
Like, what were those games
it's
like?
The same as Ryan, but
Ryan Williams.
Ryan Williams.
He's 17. But Ryan Williams hit a rookie wall. Jeremiah Smith is getting better.
Imagine, like, the kid that works at your bowling alley who, like, you know, during the football season, he's covering Jeremiah Smith on the... he's like, all right, back to the bowling alley. You know, he's...
Imagine those coaches' meetings. Well, I guess Timmy's going to chase him around the field for a little bit.
I think he's finished tutoring, you know, tutoring Bob.
Right. The Kansas City Chiefs are giving us a late Christmas gift. Carson Wentz starts Sunday against the Broncos.
Obviously, we know the circumstances. We know, you know, kind of where we're at and the reason I'm playing, not padding, all the things. But I still go out there and expect to win. I'm going to prepare to go out there and win and, you know, have a good performance with this offense. And, yeah, we're preparing for that.
Hang those broken posters back up. KC is resting Patrick Mahomes and other key players in a meaningless game for them, but Denver is playing for a wild card spot, so avoiding Mahomes is pretty helpful.
Can I put the Carson Wentz poster back up when he is the Giants starting quarterback next year, Andrew Bogus?
If he's the Giants starting quarterback, you can do whatever you want.
No.
Short shorts every day.
I just feel like this game, this meaningless Week 18 game, is a bit of a tryout for Carson Wentz for where he's going to start next year, believe it or not.
No, I think you're probably right about that. But I don't know. So many teams have given up on him now. By the way, so we put out a social media post of our top five moments from the year, and we had played a few of them last week before we went on vacation. Perloff short shorts are so much shorter than I remember that day.
Wait, this year or last year?
The fact that we even have to ask.
The answer is yes.
This year, when you dressed as the like 1980s football coach.
Yes. That's just how they wore them back.
Guys
got
to say accurate.
They're just so short. They're like, they're not Daisy Dukes necessarily, but they kind of.
I mean, they basically are.
They kind of
except
for
like
short.
The shredded denim. They're, yeah. they're Daisy Dukes.
It's more poly blend.
Yeah, but. That's exactly. I actually
no.
Was
no. We remember it was us being too close to you dressed like that. That's the problem.
In my mind, like they weren't.
Again,
that short.
I keep showing. Look at Joe Gibbs' package in these shorts right here.
No, I don't.
I just wanted to utter that sentence.
I don't want anything to do with Joe Gibbs' package.
What we're not talking about is auto racing plan.
I know. I'm not sure what a chassis is, but yeah. I don't.
That's a pit crew.
I don't know what that is.
Feel the pipe?
Manny, there's no end to these. Sheesh.
He just added another one to the rotation, too.
Yeah.
That's our gift to you in the new year.
Oh, my God. You're right. They were short, but honestly, like, what's the deal? Joe Gibbs's shorts are cut, like, right up. He looks like Britney Spears. This is the way men should dress. Short shorts are.
No, it's not.
Yes, they are. Here's the thing.
You stood up at behind the desk, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. I'm very proud of my short shorts.
We know you didn't. It was our problem. Mine specifically.
It's always Moksh's problem.
The other thing about this Joe Gibbs thing is that the shorts are also at his like belly button, too.
That's how you gotta wear them.
It's like yeah.
That's where the hook was.
That button was doing work.
Oh, there's a coach next to him.
Joe Gibbs isn't even honestly, big. Parcells' button was doing work.
Like the assistant coach, his shorts come up to right below his chest. It's insane. God, people were cool back then.
You got two options, though, if you're a man of that age wearing short shorts. You either go low and the belly kind of goes over. Again, Joe Gibbs wasn't big, but like the belly goes over, or you just tuck in the belly.
Yeah, but there's a different thing with whatever was going on in the football world. Like they all, like Parcells, like they all dress like that.
I know. I don't think there were any mirrors in the building.
they didn't have mirrors back in the 1981 Giants.
It's the only explanation I can come up with.
Thank you to the Fab Five for getting this crap out of here.
You know what?
But they're back in now.
I know. Not for old men, though.
Right. It's one thing if Jalen Green is wearing short shorts. Exactly. Oh, is that what you're saying?
When Brett Bielema and Shane Beamer got into it on the sideline, right? And Brett Bielema is basically wearing like a smock.
Yeah.
It's like open on the sides, like there's venting.
Yeah, he's got like a Snuggie on.
Yeah, but like he's not wearing the short shorts. We're not doing that with the tight sweater. Just like deal with it, America. Like he's hiding it. Yeah. He's trying to. He's like wearing a tent.
Yeah. Kind of like, you know, Andy Reid.
Yeah, right. Andy Reid, same thing. God, how many people did we take out? Just Will Howard.
80s coaches.
80s coaches.
They deserved it. Will probably didn't deserve what he got.
Will definitely didn't deserve it because his mom came and stayed with him after a horrible loss.
No, I mean, listen, Will Howard could win the national title and raise his draft stock. But at the end of the day, I think teams are going to be like, hey, did you hear that story about his mom had to come after the Oregon loss? It's going to be a huge red flag.
Can we put that as a poll? Is it a red flag that Will Howard's mom came to console him after they lost to Oregon?
Yes. A word exactly like that.
855-212-4227. Folks, thanks. Lots to do. Oh, I'm excited to get to this topic. Getting a little nervous about Kalen DeBoer. Alabama could not get to double-digit wins this season. We get to that in your phone calls next. Happy New Year from Lil Jon and the rest of us. The Maggie and Perloff Show. We've been talking a lot about the college football playoff this morning, a little bit about the NFL, but Pearl, we got to stop for a second on a game that now is a bit in the rearview mirror, but I think that the implications are going to still be felt for a little bit, and that is Alabama losing to Michigan on New Year's Eve in the ReliaQuest Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Okay. ReliaQuest Bowl. So, obviously, it was always going to be a huge thing to replace Nick Saban. We all know that. Mm-hmm. We acknowledge it. I think it makes it even harder for head coach Kalen DeBoer to replace Nick Saban when Nick Saban is still very much in our lives. He's on game day. He's in every other commercial. He is not retreated to a life of obscurity. He is very much still in our lives. So to not get to 10 wins, though, with the shadow of Saban, not be in the college football playoff, and then have, quite frankly, like a horrible loss in this bowl game. Mm-hmm. I know it doesn't like technically mean anything, but you are a 17-point favorite in this game and you got absolutely crushed. And not just that, but I read this on CBSSports.com. The Alabama Crimson Tide had as many losses this season when they were a 14-point favorite or more than they had in Nick Saban's entire tenure. In Nick Saban's whole tenure, they were 135-3 as 14-point favorites or more. This year, they were 6-3 as 14-point favorites or more. And again, from CBSSports.com. So I think that, you know, fans were probably incensed when they lost to Vandy. And then you're just out of your mind when they lose to Oklahoma. And now, again, this is a bowl game. Sure, it doesn't mean a lot, but you were a 17-point favorite against Michigan, and it was like you no-showed.
Yeah, yeah. I'm not as concerned about the bowl game. I mean, bowl games that aren't playoff games now are pretty much insignificant. I mean, what do you expect when you hire the guy in January? Like, he was behind the eight ball. There's just no way about it. The structure, the way the college game is today with the transfer portal and NIL, like, you can't expect Kalen DeBoer to have a real season. Like, they probably should have been Michigan this year. They probably should have been a 7 or 8 win team. I think they actually almost outperformed. I think they beat Georgia and raised their expectations too high because he didn't have a full season. I think to judge him is unfair.
Okay, but here's the thing. Even if he got a late start, so to speak, yeah, and, you know, wasn't able to have his full transfer portal or whatever, they were always going to roll with Milroe. It's not like they were going to bring a quarterback in over him. And Kalen DeBoer, look at the work he did with Michael Penix.
Yeah.
Right? And
yeah, but look at the receivers that Penix had there. Like, who was – basically, Milroe had Ryan Williams, and Williams fell off. I mean, there's no way to – he hit a wall. Like, was he even around the second half of the season?
Okay, but they also had weeks off before this game.
Yeah, I just think that Ryan Williams was – but it was really only one player on that offense, Ryan Williams. Like, I just don't think Milroe had a lot to work with. I don't think that was a real DeBoer offense. I don't think Milroe was a fit with DeBoer, basically style-wise. So, again, I don't really think Kalen DeBoer had a chance to show what he can do as a coach.
Man, I'm not worried yet if I'm an Alabama fan. Not yet. But Milroe...
But he's gone. He so what's the difference?
Yeah, like, I think you've seen enough with Milroe that... And sometimes he looks so super talented, mm-hmm, he looks like he can't be beat. And other times, he looks completely lost, like he did in the first half of the Michigan game. I think you have to get some new blood in at quarterback. Yeah. He should definitely not go to the NFL.
He's definitely going to the NFL.
That's ridiculous. He should go back to college and try to raise his stock a little bit.
I'd be surprised if he didn't go to the NFL.
And then who's going to draft him? And if you're a team, an NFL team, are you excited that Jalen Milroe is coming to your team? I don't think so.
We've seen quarterbacks who have not had success passing consistently in college get drafted high. Anthony Richardson,
JJ McCarthy, and Anthony. Yeah, but Anthony Richardson, how's that going?
Well, JJ McCarthy, at least I think, was accurate. Like, I not great. I mean, not bad. He wins a lot of games. I'm not sure. I don't think he's a first round pick myself. Based on he has this thing, he can't feel the pressure around him. Like, the fumbles are crazy, and it comes from behind him. And that's like his one major blind spot. I don't know if that's on Kalen DeBoer or on Milroe. It feels like who's the backup who played in Washington, Austin Mack, I think. Like, when he has gotten some opportunities, apparently, I was reading, like, oh, he runs DeBoer's offense better, even though he's not as talented. Mm-hmm. So I think you got to give DeBoer time. I was looking at the day, January 12th, he came in there. That is, like, way behind in college terms. Also, you're inarguably your best player, Caleb Downs. Did you see Caleb Downs yesterday?
He does everything.
He's Superman. Yeah. And he left. I know that some of the guys left and came back, but generally it was a tough spot for DeBoer. So I'm not going to kill him. I think you really have to give him another chance.
No, I mean, he's not going to get fired now. He's done nothing to do that. It's just to have losses when you're that big of favorites, I feel like, always comes back on the coach.
See, I don't this year because you didn't really see his system. He was not a fit with Milroe. Milroe and him just didn't make any sense. I think they both did the best they could.
855-212-4227 for the Alabama fans. You started to get a little nervous about Kalen DeBoer. I mean, there's also a reality here, which is you're not going to be competing. Let me put that differently. It's not that you're not going to be competing for national titles, and it's not that you're not going to be competing to get to the college football playoff. It's just not an inevitability anymore.
Well, you have a much bigger problem than Kalen DeBoer. Can you compete financially? Like, it's been revealed that Alabama just does not have the money of, like, an Ohio State. There's just not that kind of fan base.
855-212-4227. All right, lots more to do, including, has someone finally quieted their critics for once and for all? We'll get to that next. MVP.